You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
In view of all the facts and circumstances of the case, considering the threats made, the character and position of the parties, and the tragic results accomplished in manner and form as they were, with all the surrounding influences bearing upon the result of the affair, I cannot resist the conclusion that the defendants were fully justified in committing those homicides, that it was a necessary act done in the discharge of official duty. Judge Wells Spicer, Tombstone, Arizona, 1881. We will be getting to that momentarily. Let's get to work. Welcome, America, to Armed American Radio. I am your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, the flagship and official publication of the USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association. Check us out at usconcealedcarry.com. Join us. It has never been more important than it is today. I'd like to welcome everybody, mention that you can catch us live here in the studio if you'd like to phone in during this evening's broadcast, and a great one it's going to be, a history lesson, a good one. Reach us at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, or you can email me live on the air at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. We also, our first guest is going to be tweeting. This is new to us here and new to me. He's laughing over here in the background, producer local here in Atlanta, Eugene. We're going to be tweeting here, so we're going to check this out and see how this works tonight. Our newest listeners, Silverdale, Washington, Megatalk, KITZ, you are on the Armed American Radio Network tonight. You are on the Armed American Radio Network tonight. Welcome to the broadcast. It is a pleasure to have you in that very beautiful Pacific Northwest part of the United States. An announcement that I've been wanting to make for a long time, one that's near and dear to my heart. Tucson, Arizona, KNST, that gorgeous city down there in the desert. KNST will be joining this broadcast in a couple weeks. So we're going to, if you're listening to us out there in the desert in Arizona, one down, a couple more to go, we're going to bring you in to the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome to the family, where we tell the truth and proudly proclaim the American birthright in the form of the second, recognized by the geniuses, the founding fathers, the right to keep and bear arms. We make no apologies here for it. Welcome everybody to the broadcast. Man, I'll tell you what. What a crazy week it's been. It's been a very strange week. We got a lot of good letters. We got a ton of emails that were coming in here. Because I want to get to our first guest, and I'll tell you about who we're going to be having on here shortly. I want to read just a couple emails here real fast and a couple little news stories that popped up over the week. But this one came in from Ed in Texas, and I want to read this. Mark, just made it back from Albuquerque, of course, in time for the show, and I'm looking forward to the history lesson tonight. Found out that the Super Tuck is fabulous made. Two 9-hour drives and even hardly knew it was there. It was a great feeling being able to carry in New Mexico for the first time in that city. I truly felt secure. Hey, great idea with the flyer in the back of the USCCA magazine. Is there a way you can post it on the website so we can print as many as we need, or can you email it to me? I've got quite a few places I want to get it to. Keep up the great work, and it's exciting to see all the new stations coming online. That's from Ed down in Texas. What he's referring to is the flyer on the back inside cover of this month's Concealed Carry magazine with a recognition of AAR here, Armed American Radio, and where to pick up the broadcast. But we're growing so fast that that ad is already a little bit outdated. It still says we're a one-hour broadcast from 8 till 9, when in fact we are a two-hour broadcast from 8 till 10 Eastern, 5 till 7 Pacific. So for everybody picking us up across the United States, you got it. You know where we're at. 8 to 10, 5 to 7. So check it out in Concealed Carry Magazine. That is from Ed in Texas. Ed, we appreciate that very much. A couple news stories popped up that, you know, I don't believe much of what I hear on the news anymore, nor should you, especially with a 24-hour news cycle. But I got to tell you, GeorgiaCarry.org put out they do a great job putting out the GeorgiaCarry.org update. But I saw a couple things in here that I kind of shook my head at. And I'll tell you why. Because I saw a couple things pop up on Fox News this week, CNN, a couple of the news stations out there that Chicago gun crime, for example, at least 47 school children killed by gunfire in Chicago since the month our dear leader took office, 47 by gunfire. But I thought, man, that can't be. And then I saw the University of South Florida was on lockdown. Now, that's near and dear to my heart. I have a little boy that was born at the University Hospital there at University of South Florida. It's my hometown down there. And it said that USF was on lockdown. And I didn't realize that that was the ninth largest university in the United States. But I thought, how can that be? How can that be that there was a gunman on campus? That can't be. How can Chicago have all of this gun crime? And GeorgiaCarry.org is reporting in their Georgia Carry update on armed robberies at both Georgia and Georgia Tech. And I scratched my head for a minute and I thought, man, these news stories are false. Those are gun-free zones. They're gun-free zones. How can there be an armed gunman on the USF campus when it clearly says no guns allowed? Anyway, something for you to ponder. Tonight's broadcast, phenomenal. This is one that I've been wanting to do for an awful long time. Tombstone, Arizona is rich in history. Rich in history. Steeped in the history of the gun and the gun culture and the things that made America great. The men and the characters that walked those areas out there in the Old West paved the way for where we are today. And rugged individualism in America, which is something that we need to get back, folks. 2010 is right around the corner. But our first guest tonight is my friend, Terry Ike Clanton. That's right, Terry Ike Clanton. If you know a little bit about the gunfight at the OK Corral, this month is the 128th anniversary, October. 128 years ago, this month, the gunfight at the OK Corral was fought, and in 30 seconds, legends were born, and Western folklore was born. And Terry Ike Clanton is the fourth generation surviving cousin of Billy Clanton, who was murdered by the Earps on the dusty streets of Tombstone, Arizona. So do me a favor. Put your boots on. If you've got spurs, clank them together. They're very cool. Pour yourself a whiskey. Kick your feet up. And let's go back 128 years to the dusty streets of Tombstone, Arizona with Mr. Terry Ike Clanton. Ike, you're on Armed American Radio, and what a pleasure it is to have you here. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing wonderful, and I can't wait to get your side of this story from your family's perspective that Hollywood doesn't tell. And, Ike, I want to make a point here. You know, you and I had talked prior to the broadcast about, you know, the movie Tombstone, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great picture it is and how much fun it is to watch, and it is all of those things. But historically accurate, it is not. And I want to point to one fact here to just give a quick insight as to how Hollywood can really screw stuff up. But they do it, and we know why they do it. They do it for entertainment. But, for example, there's a scene in the movie where they show the Earps and the Holidays and the Clanton Gang and the Cowboys and Curly Bill and Johnny Ringo sitting in the Birdcage Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The Birdcage Theater didn't open until Christmas Day, 1881, 2 months after the fight at the OK Corral.
Right.
And, you know, these are the historic facts that when you're paying attention that you see. Now, we all know why they did it. They did it for theatrics. But your side of the story is going to be amazing, and I want to hear this. So start me out. Let's go back to 1881 and start us with some of your history, and we're just going to carry you through the hour and have one heck of a history lesson here.
Okay, well, just to add to your thing about the movie Tombstone, you know how in the Birdcage in Tombstone they introduced Mayor Clum and his wife, too. Well, she'd been dead a year and 5 days before it opened, too. So.
Oh, yeah, we could pick that movie apart. There's no doubt.
Well, the thing is people don't realize that the Birdcage was no highly respected woman would have been caught dead in that Birdcage. It was a house of prostitution. It was no high-class ladies would have ever been inside there. They did have shows in there and everything, but those were not, like, private rooms to watch the show. Those were where the prostitutes were.
That is absolutely correct. And anybody that knows the history of that town, it was interesting this morning, Ike. I was flipping through some TV channels about 10:30 this morning here on the East Coast, and lo and behold, on History International came the Haunted Tombstone. And yeah. I'm sure you've seen it. They walk through a number of the boarding houses and a number of the saloons,
mm-hmm.
and of course the Birdcage is just the epitome of what is, people refer to as Haunted Tombstone. A lot of comings and goings in that place, and, a very, very rich history. And I have walked the dusty streets of Tombstone many, many times, and
mm-hmm.
it's a very fun place to go to. So let's go back and get some family history here before we take our first break. Okay. Which we have 30 seconds before we go to.
Okay.
Run your gator. I run my gator just a little
Wait,
bit too
you know
much.
What, Mark? I'll tell you just real quick before we get into history. We could do
sure
that
thing.
After the break. But there's a show called Ghost Lab going to be on this Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific on Discovery Channel. It's going to be all about Tombstone. I'm on the show. It's called Ghost Lab, and it's all about the ghosts of Tombstones this Tuesday night.
And that's Tuesday night on Discovery?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm making a note of that myself. I encourage everybody to check that out.
Yep.
And when we get back from the break, Ike, we're going to start you out in about December of 1881 because we've got a full hour. So stick with us, everybody. Put your boots up, pour that whiskey, and we'll be right back after these messages with Terry Ike Clanton and the History of Tombstone.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population control breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Annie Willoughby's 3-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the 3-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters. We are joined tonight by my friend Ike Clanton, Terry Ike Clanton, fourth-generation cousin of Billy Clanton, who was gunned down by the Earps and Doc Holliday at the OK Corral, the gunfight at the OK Corral on the dusty streets of Tombstone, Arizona, 128 years ago this month, October 26, 1881. If you wish to participate in the broadcast this evening, you can reach out to us at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, or you can catch us on the email, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Ike, I rudely forgot to give you got your Twitter account out there. Throw it at us.
Absolutely. It's twitter.com/IkeClanton, or you can look me up, Ike Clanton. You know, put the at sign and just Ike Clanton. I'm Ike Clanton on Twitter. And I'm monitoring Twitter right now, and I just saw a few people that are watching the show, so it's great, or listening to the show anyway.
And, yeah, that's great stuff. Well, listen, let's do this. I guess what we should probably do is give a very brief Hollywood view that most people think of Tombstone when they talk about the Earps and the Clantons and what happened there.
I can do that.
Go for it.
All right. Well, you know, let's start with you wanted to start with December of 1880. Well, it was December 27th of 1880, and it was on 6th Street. It actually wasn't on Allen Street. It was on 6th Street, just behind the Birdcage Theater. And Curly Bill and some cowboys, some different cowboys, were out shooting at the moon, and Curly Bill had a few too many to drink, and supposedly he had been at the opium den and all kinds of things, and he was shooting at the moon and just causing a little trouble and everything. Well, Marshal Fred White had a little bungalow there, and he came outside, and what had happened was the gun was loaded, and Curly Bill had cocked the single action gun, had it cocked, and when he went out there, he went to grab for the gun, and he grabbed it by the barrel. When he grabbed it by the barrel, he tried to jerk it out of Curly Bill's hand, and he had his finger on the trigger, and of course, we know what happened. It shot Marshal Fred White right there. It did not kill him right there in the street. He lived for a couple days, actually, and during that time, I think he lived like one day, actually. But before that time, he knew it was an accident, and he said that it was an accident. One of the things that everybody believes, because of the movie Tombstone, everybody believes that Ike Clanton was there, and actually Wyatt Earp did Buffalo Curly Bill over the head and dropped him in the street and took him off and everything like that. But in the movie Tombstone, they show Ike Clanton there, and Wyatt Earp puts a gun to his head and said he's going to make it into a canoe. Ike Clanton, none of the Clantons or the McLowrys were even in Tombstone when that took place on December 27th of 1880. So, again, that's Hollywood's version. But the Clantons weren't there. But a lot of people do believe that had a lot to do with, the bad blood between the Earps and the Clantons and the McLowrys and all that kind of stuff. I don't know that it really did. I don't really believe that there was really a lot of bad blood between the Clantons and the Earps between that and the OK Corral gunfight.
No, there was some, that's interesting. There was some talk about, we go to Doc Holliday. Now, we're being listened to in Griffin, Georgia. Griffin, Georgia is, of course, the birthplace of Doc Holliday.
Right, exactly.
This program, is getting ready to be heard live in January in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, which is the death place of Doc Holliday.
I'm sorry.
So we got a little bit of history going on out there in both those places. But, didn't some of this, Ike, start with Doc Holliday being accused of robbing the Kinnear stage?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. And first off, folks, I do have a sense of humor about all this, too. So sometimes I throw a little humor in and don't take it the wrong way.
Feel free. Nobody will. It's hard to offend Armed American Radio listeners. It's easy to offend the people who hate us. Okay. But we don't worry about them on this program.
Absolutely right. What happened was on March 15th of 1881, Doc Holliday was involved in an attempted holdup on the stagecoach, the Kinnear stagecoach that was going from Tombstone to Benson, and they tried to stop the stage, and they didn't, okay? And it was Bill Leonard, Harry Head, Jim Crane, and Luther King, and Doc Holliday. Well, they were all out there. It was dark. Here come the stagecoach. They couldn't get the stagecoach stopped, and Doc Holliday opened fire, and he killed Bud Philpott, the driver, and a passenger named Peter Roehrig. Okay, well, A couple days later, they were all on the run after that. The stagecoach did not stop. They did not get whatever they were trying to get off the stagecoach. But they all scattered after they killed the guys on stage, you know. And 2 days later, Bill Leonard ran into Ike Clanton. And he told Ike Clanton the whole story when he was on the run. He said that if Doc Holliday wasn't there and drunk, nobody would have got shot, nobody would have got killed. Doc Holliday was drunk, and he opened fire on the stagecoach. The rest of them did not fire, just Doc Holliday. Well, that's what happened. That's what happened in reality. And I know they've tried to change it over the years, but if you look at some of the old, old history books, that's the way you'll see it.
Well, you'll also see that his girlfriend, wife, prostitute, whatever you want to call it, when we're referring here to, of course, Big Nose Kate, Big Nose Kate signed affidavits when he was arrested, stating that he admitted to her that he was involved in Bud Philpott's murder on the Kinnear stage. Now, history has gotten a little bit murky there.
Well, Mark, what? If you look at it like this, too, I try to look at it with common sense, and I think to myself, you know, if anybody that's ever been drunk before, if you've ever really had too much to drink, you know about the state you're in when you've had too much to drink. Think about it, folks. You've had too much to drink. Do you think, even in that state, do you think that you would sign an affidavit stating that your loved one was in a double murder, murdered two people? Do you really think, even if you were just lit up to out of your gourd, do you think that you would do that? Do you think you would actually sign the affidavit?
Yeah, you got to put reality in here.
Implicating your loved one into a double homicide?
Right, somebody that you've been hanging around with for years and years and been involved in a number of murders on the way west.
You wouldn't do it unless it happened, and if it did happen, then you would probably be drunk enough to just admit the truth.
And she later retracted that, right?
She made a retractment to that. Yeah, she retracted that because it was going to be, after that, they told her, hey, he will kill you if you don't, you know. I mean, I think there was just a little bit of witness intimidation there.
Now, what happened after that? Let's push forward.
Okay.
And talk about what happened that where the Cowboy Clanton faction and the McLowrys.
Okay.
And what happened? Now, they implicated Doc Holliday, of course, a friend of the Earps.
Right. Okay. Now let's just take you right up to the night before the OK Corral gunfight, because really nobody ever tells you about this. Hollywood never wants to tell you about this. They don't show you this. But if I ever get my way in Tombstone 2, the other side of the story, I have the screenplay and it's ready to go. You will see it. Okay. The actual gunfight at the OK Corral started the night before on the 25th of October.
Now, we've got 30 seconds. I got to tell you that. So if you can tell this quick and lead us into the break.
Well, I'll just lead you right into the break. The gunfight took place. It started the night before. Doc Holliday tried to goat Ike Clanton into a gunfight. And the Earps could have stopped it right then and there. And when we come back from the break, I'll tell you exactly how they could have stopped it.
That's right, because they didn't stop it. And they did let it continue, and that boiled over through the evening and into the next day. So when we come back from this break, we're going to hear from Ike what actually happened and what sparked the events at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on October 26, 1881. We'll be right back with Ike Clanton on Armed American Radio Network.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Annie Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine. Check us out at usconcealedcarry.com. Also, to check out past programs that you may have missed, you can check us out at www.armedamericanradio.org, armedamericanradio.org, and go in and listen to any of the previous broadcasts from the program's inception in April of this year, and we are outgrowing our britches. To join the program, 877-956-9566. Or mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. We are on the line with Ike Clanton, fourth-generation cousin of Billy Clanton, gunned down by the Erps and Holiday at the gunfight at the OK Corral 128 years ago this month. And Ike, before the break, you were leading us up, and unfortunately we had to pay the bills. But now, take us from that night. What happened? Let's go from there.
Okay, well, the 25th, Doc Holliday had just come back on the stage from Tucson, and basically, he knew that Ike Clanton was blowing the whistle on the March 15th, 1881 attempted stage holdup, where he was, he murdered those two people, and he knew that Ike Clanton was blowing the whistle on him. He wanted to try and goat Ike Clanton into a gunfight. Now, Ike Clanton was two doors down from the Golden Eagle Brewery, which is now the Crystal Palace, on the corner of Allen Street and Fifth Street.
Who'd been there before?
Okay, and anyway, he was having a sandwich, and he was unarmed. As you weren't allowed to carry guns in the city limits, and Doc Holliday storms in, sees Ike Clanton, and tries to goad him into a gunfight. And literally, curses at him and says, "Ike, you get your gun out and get to work. You know, I'm gonna gun you down. You know, that type of deal." I'm trying to get him, and Ike's like, "Hey, I don't have a gun, man. Get out of here, you drunk," and all that stuff. And he's telling him that. Well, as he's doing that, the Earps are standing right there watching Doc Holliday, who's not a lawman. He's a troublemaker. He's drunk, and he's carrying a firearm, and he's trying to, and he's committing the crime of trying to go disturbing the peace anyway, and having a gun. If the Earps would have arrested Doc Holliday right there, took his guns away from him, and told him to knock it off, and took him to jail for carrying a gun in city limits, the gunfight at the OK Corral would have never happened. But that didn't happen because the Earps were on Doc Holliday's side, and when Ike got up after he had enough, he walks out. And the Earps even told Ike, "You better get a gun, Ike, because next time we see you, we're gonna let you have it. We're gonna kill you."
Now, Hollywood, that scene in the Crystal Palace is actually portrayed in a couple of the movies, both in Wyatt Earp and the movie Tombstone. Now, I don't know how the accuracy of it and the timing, but am I right there?
The sandwich part. No, you're talking about the next day. Okay, well, we'll get to that.
Okay,
the
go
next
for it.
Day, what happened was the next day. Ike Clanton did arm himself. He had his rifle and he had a six shooter. Okay, and he armed himself in the morning. Was he drunk? No, he wasn't drunk, and I'll tell you why. Anyway, he was that night. In fact, backing up just a little bit, he had played cards with Virgil Earp after that had happened, and so things had to cool off just a little bit. But he was afraid Doc Holliday was going to gun him down too, along with the Earp. So he armed himself. Well, Virgil Earp and Morgan Earp came up behind him, buffaloed him over the head, which means he knocked him. They knocked him out, basically hit him over the head with a gun, and took him to down to the courthouse, and they charged him $27.50 for carrying a firearm in city limits, and they released him without his guns. They released him. Now, if he was drunk, like people have portrayed, and some of the movies have portrayed and said he was drunk, then they should have been held liable right there again for letting a drunk man back out on the streets, telling him he was going to kill everybody. So was he drunk? No. I highly doubt. Common sense tells me that he wasn't drunk. If he was, they would have kept him. He went back on the streets. He was humiliated. He was bleeding from the head. His little brother Billy comes to town with Frank. They want to get the heck out of town. They have their horses over in the vacant lot behind the OK Corral over on Fremont Street between the Harwood House and where Doc Holliday lived upstairs, and C.S. Fly. Had a studio below, and there was two horses in there, and they really wanted to get out of town. Tom McLowry had $3,000 in cash in his pocket. He'd just come from Bauer's Meat Market, where he sold a stock of cattle to him, and they were ready to get out of town. And then the Earps gathered at Hafford's Saloon on the corner of 4th and Allen, and here comes Doc Holliday. And this is where they should have been held liable for the killings of Billy Clanton, my cousin, and the two McLowry brothers, is to ask Doc Holliday to go down to disarm them. Okay, if they did think there was problems in town, and they were the police in town, and they wanted to go really disarm them and have no trouble at all, would they have asked Doc Holliday, who they watched that was almost in a gunfight, trying to goad Ike Clanton in a heated argument the night before, would they have asked him to go down there if they didn't want problems? Like I've always said, that's like taking a blowtorch to a fireworks factory. You know, it's like they wouldn't have done that. Common sense tells me they wouldn't have done that. With that in mind, I believe that Doc Holliday and Morgan Earp went down there to open fire on him. I don't believe in my opinion that Wyatt Earp and Virgil Earp did. I think they may have wanted to just go down and disarm them, but Morgan Earp and Doc Holliday went down there to open fire on them, which they did, and they were unarmed. I mean, Ike Clanton was unarmed, so was Tom McLowry. And
now,
I
that
know,
fight.
But over the years, Mark, over the years, they've always tried to put guns. If you go watch the gunfight at the OK Corral tomorrow at 2:00 in the afternoon, be reenacted at the OK Corral, you'll see that Tom McLowry's armed. Everybody wants to put a gun in his hand. You know why? Because nobody wants to see the Earps and Doc Holliday gun down these unarmed men.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I have been there to see that, and you're right. I've seen that a number of times. And what's interesting to me is that we're now talking about approximately 2:30, 3:00 in the afternoon of October 26, 1881, when they gathered, they hooked up with Doc Holliday, and I guess it's historically accurate to say that Virgil gave Doc the shotgun. We know that for a fact, and he took Doc Holliday's cane.
Right.
When they walked down the street, Virgil Earp was not menacing. There's a lot of historical documentation to that. That they were in their overcoats, their dusters. They were walking down the street. Now let's make another point here too. You know, simple things that are, but they matter because Hollywood doesn't tell us. They like to send people walking down the street with the city burning in the background and all this garbage and nonsense. The fact of the matter is that the Earps and Doc Holliday walked down Fremont Street. They did not walk down Allen Street.
Right.
And right. This gunfight when they met, that did not actually occur at the OK Corral, but it occurred in the alley, as you said, between the OK Corral and C.S. Fly's photography studio.
And Ike Clanton wasn't taking a bath either.
Yeah, he didn't have his head in a bucket full of water and shaking off the buzz from the night before that Hollywood, you know, but it looks good in Hollywood. I think everybody agrees that it, you know, it makes it look good. But this gunfight.
In reality, Mark, what really happened in reality was that they, when they came down the street, Johnny Behan was with the Cowboys in the vacant lot. He saw the Earps. He went up there. He basically, he didn't want any problems. So he basically said, listen, I've disarmed them. I've taken care of the problem. Turn around, go back, whatever. You know, he's telling them, don't worry about it. I've taken care of it. They shunned him and just kept walking. When Ike Clanton saw that Johnny Behan wasn't able to stop him and they were coming, Ike Clanton was the next one to go forward. And when he went forward, the rest of them were back in that vacant lot. Ike Clanton met Wyatt Earp right at the corner of C.S. Fly's studio and came face-to-face with Wyatt and said, don't shoot. I don't have a gun. I don't have a gun. Don't shoot. Just at about that time, Morgan Earp and Doc Holliday, who were to at the extreme left of where Ike Clanton and Wyatt Earp was. In fact, they weren't going to shoot Ike Clanton because with that double-barrel shotgun, he'd have cut Wyatt Earp in half, too. Anyway, they shot at the Cowboys behind Ike Clanton and Wyatt Earp, going, you know, chops, cause they shot forward, but really, and Ike Clanton just pushed Wyatt Earp and ran, you know, because he didn't have a gun to defend himself.
You know, they say that, now let's talk about the distance here. Again, we've got 30 seconds, 20 seconds before we go to a break, so let's set this up for when we come out of the break. That these guys were at pretty much bad breath distance.
Oh, they were at 5 feet. They were just point-blank range.
And the gunfight lasted approximately 30 to 34 seconds from the historical record, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that's an awful lot of lead flying in a very short amount of time.
Yes.
And we had Tom McLowry, Frank McLowry, and Billy Clanton laying dead on those dusty streets in that vacant alley. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit more updates of what's happening now in real life and some efforts from Ike Clanton. We'll be right back on Armed American Radio after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Smith, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Oh yes, and all the soldiers fighting in Vietnam had to do a thing called machine gun.
We are back on Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Feel free to check us out at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. If you don't want to call in, I completely understand why. This is good, compelling radio and a great history lesson. Our guest is Ike Clanton, Terry Ike Clanton, fourth-generation cousin of Billy Clanton, gunned down in the streets of Tombstone, Arizona, 128 years ago this month. And he is open for questions, so feel free to give us a call if you want to get this side of the story here that Hollywood never tells us. I'd like to take this opportunity to take the first call from Lansing, Michigan. First caller listening to us in Lansing, Michigan, who's fairly new to the broadcast, and Silverdale, Washington, the inaugural broadcast. Those first two callers from those two stations will pick up a free membership to the United States Concealed Carry Association. You can get to us by email at mark@armedamericanradio.org or call us at 877-956-9566. Okay, Ike, compelling stuff. Let's go back to where we were. I'm going to let you take it and run.
That they were gunned down there, and we always call it the OK Corral, even though it really wasn't the OK Corral. It was to the rear of the OK Corral, and it was in a vacant lot. But nobody wants to call the most famous gunfight of all Wild West history the gunfight at the vacant lot.
Right. So that makes sense. The vacant lot shootout.
You know, I've always called it the shootout on Fremont Street, whatever you want to call it. You know, but we always call it the OK Corral gunfight because people know what they're talking about. But you know, I think that it was really the first form of police brutality in this country, and I believe that the Earps and Doc Holliday should have been held liable for the murders of Billy Clanton, my cousin, and the two McLowry boys, and I think that they should have been held liable for that. And I told you my reasons why, and one of them is that, you know, they took Doc Holliday down there, who was a troublemaker, and obviously the night before they witnessed it, and they took that blowtorch to a fireworks factory. They should have been held liable for that, and I really believe that was the, you know, they really, you know, it was not good police work for sure, and You know, when I've talked to a lot of lawyers and people like that in today's, you know, like if that would happen in today's society, they'd hang the Earps and Doc Holliday. There would be no doubt about it. They'd hang them because it was just, you can't be doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Now, at the very least, you know, what happened the night before would have been an armed aggravated assault or something. You know, with that, yeah. There, something different would have happened. Of course, it was much different times. Tombstone at that time was a rough mining camp. And I believe at that time in Tombstone's history, about 1,000 to 2,000 residents, and that exploded after 1881. Let's a little bit of history. The town was actually founded by Ed Shifflin in 1879 when he struck a rich silver struck a rich silver vein.
Right.
And you can go ahead and tell everybody why this the town is named Tombstone. It's a great story.
Yeah, well, you know, Ed Shifflin, you know, he was a miner and he was out looking for silver and gold, and he was down by Fort Huachuca, and he told the soldiers that he was, you know, hunting for it up in those hills, and they said, the only thing you'll find in them hills is your own tombstone. So when he came upon his first claim that he named Tombstone, because he, you know, that's why he named it Tombstone, because of what they told him and everything. But you know, one thing I do want to talk about, too, I wanted to tell you, Mark, that this coming November 12th through the 14th is the 16th annual Clanton Days Rendezvous in Tombstone. I started that 16 years ago, Clanton Days, and we have a great time. I just wanted to get a plug in for that because it's going to be a lot of talent. I do free walking tour of the town, and we have a ghost walk, and we do a lot of history stuff and have Shady Lady contests, and we're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. And people can... check out my website either at clantongang.com or tombstonearizona.com, or you can watch the Haunted Saloon Show on every Tuesday night. I don't know whether you watch it, Mark, but
I have, and it's a lot of fun. I've spent a lot of time this weekend on the site too, and every time I go out to Tombstone, which is once a year, I generally get out there in February, but I always check out the site, and I'm always following up on everything, see what's happening. There's not a lot of, you know, city street stuff going on in February, but the weather's nice. And it's a great time to go visit.
November.
So go ahead, plug away. Let everybody know because this is really fun stuff.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, it's November 12th through the 14th, and everybody's invited. Just go check it out. There's a whole event schedule online on my website. But, no, we have a lot of fun with it. And, I got to tell you something, too. I've never admitted this, and I did not put this on Twitter when I did it, and everybody thought I would, and I didn't just because they thought I would. Last week, it was about a week and a half ago in Tombstone, the Huckleberry Productions, they do a great job. They do the gunfight at the OK Corral every day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and on the weekends they do them at 2 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, anyway, Stephen Keith, who plays Doc Holliday, I saw him in the morning, and he's like, I go, "Hi, are you having a good day?" And he goes, "Well, not really." And I go, "Why?" "Well, I'm short people for the show today." And then he looked up at me, and he went, "Morgan Earp." And I went, okay.
I'm going to tell you something fun about Stephen. I had an opportunity to meet him 2 years ago. And I guess it'll be 2 years ago in February, this February coming up. And actually sat at the Crystal Palace with him. Really funny. I actually walked out of the Crystal Palace at about 11 o'clock that night, and I heard, "I'll be a Huckleberry." And it came out of nowhere, and it was dark, and there was nobody there. I was with a buddy of mine, and I turned around, and here he comes around the corner. You know, have a couple beers in you, and this guy looks just like the Val Kilmer, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he does, and we have a lot of fun with it. But I got to tell you, it was strange, Mark. I played Morgan Earp in the OK Corral gunfight. In fact, that's the first time I've ever been in the OK Corral gunfight in Tombstone in the show, and wouldn't you know it, I played Morgan Earp.
Isn't that a strange twist of fate, Derek?
Well, but you know what? And I did, and it was weird. It made me feel, it really, really felt really different, you know? I mean, it was just, I don't know, I was surreal, I guess. That's the way I could say it.
I don't doubt that. Hey, let's go to October 29th, 1881, and talk about the aftermath, because Wyatt and Doc Holliday were arrested for the murders of Billy Clanton and the McLowry brothers on October 29th, 3 days after the gunfight. And Morgan and Virgil were not arrested because they were still bedridden due to serious gunshot injuries, their gunshot wounds.
Right.
So what happened after that?
Well, you know, the thing is they did. They arrested them, and, you know, and Ike Clanton, and then Will McLowry, which was the oldest brother, who was a lawyer, and he was the oldest brother of Tom and Frank McLowry, he heard what happened to his two brothers, so he immediately got to Tombstone a couple days after the OK Corral gunfight. And, you know, backing it up, too, that day after, you know, they had the funeral of Tom McLowry and Frank McLowry and Billy Clanton down Allen Street. And up until that time, there was that was the biggest crowd ever in Tombstone. 2,000 people showed up for their funerals. So if they were these dirtbag outlaw guys that nobody likes, nobody would have shown up at their funeral.
No, they had a lot of friends in town. In fact, the Tombstone Nugget, people can go to your site, ClantonGang.com, and actually read the Tombstone Nugget brief, if you will, or a quick little newspaper blurb about the funeral procession.
And they didn't like the Earps. I'm telling you right now, and that in those days, right when that happened, the townsfolk knew that they gunned them down. And, I mean, they knew it was police brutality. They didn't like the Earps. They were arrogant. You know, they were just, they didn't like them. They weren't like, the Earps were not liked in Tombstone. And after that happened, they were liked a lot less.
Well, they were gone by when? March of 1882, were they gone by March?
Well, March of 1882 is when Morgan Earp was gunned down in Campbell and Hatch Saloon playing pool, and they had just come from the Shefflin Hall where they watched Stolen Kisses play, and then they went over to Campbell and Hatch to play some pool, and somebody shot through the back door of the pool hall there and killed Morgan Earp, basically killed him right there. And then in December of 1881, just after the gunfight, of course, we all know about Virgil Earp. And I want to tell you about that, too, those of you, the people listening, too, because that's another strange one, too, that everybody was like, oh, that's Ike Clanton. Ike Clanton did that. Ike Clanton didn't have anything to do with that. And it was December of 1881, and he was crossing the street from the Oriental Saloon over to the Golden Eagle Brewery, or the Crystal Palace now, walking straight across the street. And from the second story of the Huachuca Water Company across the street, a couple guys with shotguns shot at him. And if you've ever been to Tombstone, you know that's a pretty good distance for a shotgun. It didn't kill him, but it really tore up his left arm. And that's in the movies Tombstone and everything. And then everybody said, oh, Ike Clanton did it. Ike Clanton did it. You know, well, they even arrested Ike Clanton and brought him to court and said that he did it. But even Wyatt Earp's own friends knew that Ike Clanton was playing cards that night down in Charleston. Ike Clanton wasn't even in Tombstone when that took place.
And let's tell people that Charleston is now a ghost town about, what, 12 to 15 miles south of town?
Exactly right, yeah.
And that's out where the Clanton Ranch was. I think there's
there's
just an adobe wall out there.
That's
left standing?
Which, you know what, which is a sad thing because people keep going out and taking, like, the adobe bricks away from it and stuff, and it's just deteriorating. On my website, I have a picture of it, and it's pretty good, and if you went out there today, it's a lot less, so it's a bad deal.
I'll tell you what, Ike, this is compelling conversation, and what I'd like to do is invite you to stick with us during the next hour if you've got the time. Invite is wide open. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I want to put a shout-out to the guys that are on Twitter, too. You know, you got a bunch of people out there. You got Creek Johnson and Murdoch, and a whole bunch of them are tweeting right now. And I'm sure somebody's going to call in with some questions, too. And I'm sure they want to maybe take some questions. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll check it out and see if we can get them in there. We've got 30 seconds right now. And what I'd like to do is say thank you for the first hour. Stick with us for the second hour. We've got a couple other guests coming on, Mr. Alan Corwin and the Black Man with a Gun. And we'll be right back at the second hour right after these messages. Don't go away.
Been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Here I come again now, baby. Like a duck.